Welcome to I Am Light. I'm Sarah Lockwood, your spiritual life coach, comedic relief friend, and host. I Am Light is a place where we talk about shining our light, having some fun, and being a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm here to bring you content on the big journey of life and how we can live as our fullest, most authentic self. We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, but mostly we'll learn and evolve together. So step into your highest expression and come on in. Today we have with us a very special guest, one of my best friends, Brendan Sullivan. Brendan and I are going to be talking about big life changes and transformations and spiritual awakenings and how to navigate all of this with intention and grace and a light heart. We talk about manifesting. We talk about surrender. We talk about the inner child. We talk about toxic productivity. So we kind of talk about all kinds of things in this episode, and it's a really good episode. So without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, welcome, Brendan. How does it feel, first of all, to be my first podcast guest ever?
Hi, I'm very honored because it's so great to see where you are now and what you're doing. And when you said you were doing a podcast, I was like, I need to talk with Sarah on this podcast. So to be one of the first, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, you should be very honored. There were people lining up to be on this, and you got first pick. So
great.
I'm just kidding. It was just you.
Okay, great. Either way, it's great.
So I just wanted to start off by having you tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and your journey and where you started and where you are now. So if you just want to get into that, I'll give you the floor.
Sure. You probably need to cut me off because that's like an eternity of answers, but
that's okay.
to sum it up, I guess, I am Brendan and I grew up in South Jersey, right near where you grew up. And I kind of knew I was a little different when it came to these like holistic practices and spiritual connections and knowing I had a very different journey than most of my family and most of my friends. So I always kind of felt alienated and I kind of went through life in those like teenage years feeling a little confused and wondering what was next for me. So I decided to go into acting because it was one way that I could understand people and psychology and who am I amongst other people. So I started studying that, moved to Manhattan, and kind of landed where I am today, which is back in Manhattan. But as we'll talk, I kind of left Manhattan, changed paths a bit, and I'm no longer in the acting field as much. But that's kind of me as of now.
Okay. So let's kind of rewind a little bit in the journey and chat about what things were like and where we kind of were when we were roommates, when we lived together in Brooklyn and like the place that we were both in our lives. So if you want to start, what was present for you during that time? Like what were you going through or struggling with or what was really good?
Mm-hmm. I think we both have a little form of PTSD from living back in Brooklyn in a good way and a bad way.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I think it was such a transformational time because we all kind of just got out of schooling and we wanted to live in New York City and prices just kept going up and up and up. So we were like, okay, let's find the most bang for our buck. And we found a really nice big apartment in Brooklyn. I think that was like the happy spot for me that it was like, I have a bunch of space now. There was natural light, thank God.
It was a nice apartment. We had a balcony.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. So we had a really good apartment. And then I think what happened was that we were in such a time in our lives where we were focusing on a career and we were focusing on what were our next steps and what were our next steps with relationships and what were our next steps with finances and just so many different things that it was almost a little bit overwhelming for all of us in our own ways. So for me, it was, okay, I'm not really doing the job that I felt I was meant to be doing. So I was hosting at a restaurant, right? And I was traveling about an hour and 15 minutes every day to get to this restaurant, making below minimum wage.
I know we live like, so far away from everything.
We lived so far and we were like commuting, and you had a car, which was nice, but then sometimes we had to take the subway. It was just like a very unorganized, but we were very organized people, if that makes sense.
I feel like it was just the standard post-college situation where you're figuring out kind of everything at once. And it was the first time that we had been, at least for me, like the first time that I had actually entered the industry I had always wanted to work in. And you were hosting and also, trying to pursue acting and other things and modeling on the side and like doing some projects in addition to your job and everything. And so it becomes very overwhelming because I don't think we talk, or not me and you, we, but like we as a society talk enough about how little 22-year-olds really do know. Like you graduate college and you're like, I feel like I am on top of the world and I know everything. And then I look back to like 22-year-old Sarah and I'm like, Lord.
Right, you're like, I need to hug her and I need to hug him, because the fact that we did so much, and that was a short amount of time. We were only there for about a year,
Not even
not even.
because we left in March because of COVID.
Yeah,
But we
and
were there July to March.
we were balancing so many different things, because on top of trying to pay our bills, we were doing things that we thought were forwarding us in our careers and our lives and our spirituality, and we were burning ourselves out, really. So at the end of the day, we would get home and the last thing we wanted to do was enjoy anything that was joyful for us, because we were like, no, tomorrow I have to get up and I have to start over because it's going to pay the bill and it's going to lead me to my next thing. When really, I think we were putting blocks in front of us to get to where we actually wanted to be.
And just for everyone listening, some context as to what each of our schedules were like and what we were going through at this period of time. It was, we started living there in July 2019, and you were, hosting at the restaurant with Lainey, who is our other best friend who also lived with us. And I was a production assistant on a startup talk show. And so my schedule was, I would leave the house by 6 a.m. And your schedule was that you worked afternoons and evenings. So by the time I got home at 7 or 8 or whenever I got home, you would be gone. And then I'd be going to bed when you would walk in and like make like broccoli and then go to bed or something like that, which is what we did every single day. I never saw you. I never saw Lainey. I never saw Emily, who was there all the time. Like we didn't really have opportunities to spend time with each other or be doing the things that really brought us joy. And honestly, I am that period of time I look back on so fondly because we lived together and it was so much fun to live with you. But also, I look back on it with like such distaste because a number of things were happening. One, I personally was in a job that I absolutely hated, like when I was working at that startup, absolutely hated it, would like cry every day. And I got fired from it. So that was, if you remember, quite the time. And I've never really talked about that because it's something that I've always been really embarrassed about because I was so shameful of it. My first job after college, I got fired from. Like, that's fucking embarrassing. That's so embarrassing. But now that I look back on that, I'm like, that is probably the best thing that possibly could have happened because I needed that in order to move forward in my life. And that's when I, got the other job as a PA, and then COVID happened. And that's when the whole. So let's chat about like that period of time because we were going through a lot of just post-grad typical things when we were living together. And then COVID happened. And I remember the day that it happened. I remember I was at work in Queens, and my contract for that job actually had was supposed to end in 2 days. And so I was just like, why don't we just cut it off a little bit 2 days early? Because no one was going into work anymore. I was a driver production assistant, so they didn't need me to go on runs because we weren't in the office. And I remember Emily, was staying at the house and I called her and I was like, pack your shit. We're getting out of this city. It was that Wednesday. I think it was March 13th, like the day everything
Yeah.
started closing down. And I came back to the apartment and you were standing there like, all right, bye. And I was like, it's going to be fine. I'll see you in 2 weeks. We're just going to leave for 2 weeks until this all blows
Yeah.
over. We'll come back. Our lease didn't even end until June. And needless to say, we didn't come back. So what was that like? First of all, you were in that apartment alone for such a long time. Like, what was that like for you?
So I remember, oh, maybe a week or two before this actually really started getting serious, we watched a documentary on pandemics.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, can you imagine if this would happen? It's not gonna happen. And then a couple of weeks down the line, we're watching the news, things are shutting down. I remember walking into the apartment and there was your suitcase and Emily's suitcase thrown open, and you guys were just chucking clothes into it. And you're like, get in the car now. And I was like, all right, well, this is happening. So I ended up, my work didn't close until that following Monday. So I remember like being on the subway and like people just kept diminishing. And I finally was the last person on the subway. And I was like, oh, okay, this is bad. And I said, so then work closed. And I said, you know what? I'm going to stay. It's going to be 2 weeks. Like we all thought it was going to be 2 weeks. So I said, I'll stay in the apartment 2 weeks. The grocery store down the road has food because every Whole Foods and Trader Joe's was sold out in Manhattan. So
Yeah,
luckily
and
we had a grocery store.
the grocery store that we had had like old avocados and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh
It was
yeah.
like not a lot.
But it was like packed with like salami. So I was like, okay, I will have meat and old avocados for a long time. And so I was fine. I stayed there for 2 weeks. And then closer towards the end of the 2 weeks, I said, okay, I need to go home because this is very isolating. And also I began to worry about friends and family and anyone who was elsewhere. So I think that's really when the shift came for me and you. I mean, luckily we were very fortunate to have homes to go home to and have families to go home to, because a lot of people didn't get to leave Manhattan or any part of the country. They were stuck in their apartments. So luckily we had, homes to go home to. And I think just like anyone in the beginning of the pandemic, the first 2 weeks I went home, I then was downing bottles of wine, pasta every night, catching up on Netflix. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, I was
But
like
then a shift
paid
happened.
vacation. I'm drinking Chardonnay and watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. I was like, this is living. And then they were like, it's gonna keep going for a long time. And everyone started being like, oh no.
Yeah. And you know what's sad is not, I guess not sad, it's just something we have to train ourselves out of, is that when work was shutting down, I was upset. Like I was saying, I need to pay my bills. I have been working so hard, and now the universe is going to stop me from working so hard, when really the universe was saying, you need a breather. And I think this was that form of a breather.
Yeah, definitely. I've viewed everything that happened that spring that way for a long time because there's a light and a dark, to everything, a light and a shadow to every situation. And obviously the shadow side of what happened was really overwhelming and really big. And then there's the light side, which is that a lot of people were forced to turn off the autopilot, take a pause, and actually look at what was and wasn't working in their life. And that's why we saw such a like a mass spiritual awakening happen around the world, because people actually had to say, wait a minute, I'm doing something every single day that doesn't bring me joy. I don't get paid enough. I'm not fulfilled doing what I'm doing. Like, how long can I keep going on like this? And how long have I been just living on autopilot and settling when I know that I am meant for something more or meant for something different. And so that was at least something that came out of obviously such a tragedy
Yeah.
and hard time. But from that, so many people have now we're seeing like mass people resigning from their jobs that don't fulfill them because everyone has kind of learned their worth and learned what they want to be doing, and they want to be doing things that are in alignment with their spirit. So
100%.
I think that I want to ask you what it was like because we both, for context for everyone listening, Brendan and I during COVID both moved home. Our families both live in New Jersey, and we went back home to stay with them so that we didn't have to be in the city. So I want to ask you what that was like for you, and kind of if you want to talk a little bit about, I know we had spiritual awakenings around the same time, and so if you want to chat a little bit about that.
Sure. So when I moved home, like I said, the first 2 weeks were I'm on a vacation. And then it got so repetitive to where I woke up and I was like, oh, this is actually how I'm supposed to start feeling. I'm supposed to be getting this extra rest. I'm supposed to be focusing on what I'm eating and what I'm thinking and what I'm putting into my body, not just food-wise, but knowledge-wise. I began reading a ton more. I began working out a ton more. And I was like, oh, okay. So if I have this kind of free time and there's, a mass suffering going on in the world right now, my kind of spiritual awakening shifted to, okay, I need to start focusing on the things that are going to bring me forward in life, but also that are going to just make me happy with where I am and what I'm doing. Because that was the biggest thing I think I was stuck with at the time was I was like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't have the finances to go forward with my dream career. So I said, okay, I'm going to focus on myself. And I started reading and writing and going sitting on the beach or going sitting in the woods, just things that were away from people and away from any type of influence at the time. I got away from social media for a second and I said, wow, like I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm thinking differently, I'm breathing differently. So that was really, really great. And then not only when you start doing these things, not only do you feel better, the people around you start feeling better. So then you start bringing things into your life that were meant to be there, right? So you start getting these better relationships and you start bringing in opportunities that are related to a career or an activity or anything that you had no idea you could be associated with. But because you've changed the way you're thinking and feeling and doing, things start coming into your life, which I think is manifestation, right? I'm like, this is a form of manifestation that I had no intention on doing, but when I got aligned with myself and my spirit and my thoughts and my health, they started coming to me.
Yeah, that's the synchronicities that everyone is always talking about. That when you align yourself with your dharma, which is your soul's purpose, which is just what you feel is authentic to you, living in your most authentic expression, living in your highest expression, choosing things that are in alignment with you and bring you joy. You know, those are all things that put you onto your dharma because your soul's purpose is to live as your most authentic self, right? When we start doing that and we start taking care of ourselves and it raises our vibration, and then we start attracting synchronicities into our life because the universe is conspiring in our favor. And that's how we start co-creating things with the universe, rather than having, you know, karma smack us around trying to get us back on track when we are out of alignment. And I noticed the same thing happening in my life as well, because my spiritual awakening happened when one of my friends reached out and asked if I wanted to do the 21 Days of Abundance meditation challenge that Deepak Chopra has. And I did that, and I had never even like I knew what the word abundance meant, but I had never thought about it in a spiritual sense, if you know what I mean. Like, I had never considered, you know, abundant living and attracting abundance and holding abundance within you and recognizing that you are innately abundant. Like, it was more just like I never looked at it that way. And so that kind of sparked my spiritual awakening. And I dove so deep into it because I still was in a place where I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, because I realized I didn't want to do film and TV anymore. And that industry was shut down anyway. So I had a longer period of time to pause. And so I started reading books and taking workshops and courses and listening to podcasts and then reading more books and watching documentaries, and had this huge awakening. And then all of a sudden, little things started to fall into place. Like, that's when, you know, I was introduced to IIN, which is where I got my coaching certification. That's when, you know, I started just feeling more joyful in general. That's when I started attracting the right people into my life. And it all just kind of fell into place from there and felt very easeful. Whereas I was very resistant to the other work I was doing in film and TV. And given I did go back for one last season, you know, at the end of 2020, but then, you know, since then I haven't done that work again because I feel like my spirit is so resistant to it, and the misalignment that I feel is so loud. And I've spent so much time learning how to trust my intuition and all of that, and it has brought me to such an amazing place where so many things just continue falling into place every time I trust those feelings of alignment.
Yeah, 100%. And I really liked what you said about karma smacking you back into like your spirituality or your spiritual path, because I think a lot of people view karma as this negative idea that it's like, okay, I'm getting punished. No, I think the universe isn't really ever punishing you. It's kind of guiding you where you need to be going to get your highest form of self and all your rewards and your abundance and things like that. So I really like that you said that. And also when you said, okay, so you dipped back into the film and television just briefly, because I think we all kind of had a small rebound for a second, because when you're on your spiritual path, I think everyone thinks it's linear, it's straight, I'm going right, but it's really like a zigzag, a curve, a bend. Because when I was deciding, okay, what am I going to be doing going forward, I got presented with a management position at a restaurant in Manhattan, which I'm at now. So I did come back to Manhattan, but I wasn't able to see that I now going forward don't want to stay in Manhattan a long time. I don't want to be in the restaurant industry. So I needed to come back to make relationships, to understand what it was like, to see how far I've grown, right? And then go, oh, okay, this is now I really know where I'm at and where I want to go. So I think we all had that little bounce back.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like for me, it was I my old or one of my old bosses reached out to me from the second PA job that I had after, which was at Sesame Street, which is where I really loved working there, and that was where I was when COVID hit.
Yeah.
But I still knew that TV wasn't for me. Not because it was a bad place to work. It was a really awesome place to work, actually. It was more of just like because of the hours in film and TV, I didn't have like I envisioned a life for myself with much more freedom than that. And so I remember one of my old bosses reached out to me summer 2020 and was like, "You want to come back for another season?" And they offered me a different position. And so I was like, "You know what? I'm going to try it one more time." You know, maybe I was just in a bad place last year because I had been fired from the job before that, and the job before I was at Sesame Street, for context for everyone listening. And so I went back to test out the waters again, and it's a fun place to work, and I loved everyone I was working with, and I really enjoyed myself, but I still could feel that misalignment in my body of like, this is not for you. And I almost went through kind of a mourning period because I had spent my entire life working towards that kind of job. Like I wanted to be a screenwriter or a producer. And so it was really hard kind of coming to terms with the fact that I didn't want to do that anymore. Did you hear the way that I said that I didn't want
That's your energy. Your energy was like, I
anymore?
know what I want.
Yeah, it was hard to come to terms with the fact that I didn't want to do that anymore. And so, but because I loved coaching so much and I was having so much fun in the spiritual world and in that new kind of embodiment of my spirit and the way that my dharma had started to manifest, it made the transition a little bit easier. Like it was hard because I didn't know what was going to happen when I left that old career. But it was easy because it was easier on my spirit because it felt more aligned. But there was definitely, you know, a period where I went back and was trying to feel it out again, like you were saying. So you had mentioned to me, like you've mentioned to me a number of times, that you do have a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit and are interested in some of those endeavors. So where does that come from, and like what has been kind of on your radar? And
Yeah. So, like I said, being back at this job has kind of put into perspective, I want to be my own boss and I want to set my own time and boundaries and I want to answer to me, right, at the end of the day. And I remember going on one of your Instagram stories and I saw that you were like at the beach with a book or a journal and you were like, today I felt like taking off. So I'm taking off today and I'll do the work I had planned today tomorrow. And I went, oh, because that day I was like, today is not the day for me. I don't want to go to work. I won't be giving my best self. I know I won't, those types of situations. And I was like, I would love to go I'm going to go journal in the park today, and tomorrow I will be better for my job. And I said, okay, that kind of aligns with what I want to do. And in my family, for generations now, we've had people who own their own businesses, right? So I grew up with a family that had a schedule of, okay, if we want to stay an extra 2 days longer on a vacation, we do. If they're not feeling that well that day, they don't go in, because we've had, the blessing to be able to do that. So I never understood the corporate lifestyle until I got into this job for the first time. And I was like, oh, if I want to book a trip with a friend, I can't go. But you know what I mean? Or so that was really a big eye opener for me. So I started saying, okay, what am I really passionate about? What am I really spiritually aligned with? What are these talents that I've been doing my whole life that I kind of gave up a little bit? Like, I'm not really pursuing acting as much anymore, but I know that I was meant to study it so that I could use it somewhere. So I started looking more in towards interior design, real estate, things like that. So right now I'm in the middle of my real estate license and working on that. And I'm
Oh my
also
God, you'll be
focused,
so good at that.
right? I'm like, I can sell someone something. I've been doing Shakespeare monologues for eternity. I was like, I can persuade someone to buy their dream home. And then I'm also working on possibly opening up a business, a type of event planning business, and doing, picnics and baby showers and things like that. That's something that I think I could incorporate my interior design and my acting passions and things like that. So yeah, I have a lot in the works.
That's really exciting, and I can see so clearly like that you'll be amazing at all of those things. And I remember when we were living together, like we would have chats about our dreams and that and the kind of things that our families were able to do, because I also was raised by an entrepreneur who was able to take vacations when he wanted to and things like that. And we would try to plan little trips together, but then we'd be like, oh, I have work. And it's been hard for both of us to have, or it was hard for both of us to have someone else in charge of how we spent our time. I know that was my biggest thing when I was, working as a PA. I was like, I cannot stand that I wake up and don't get to decide what I do today. Like someone else is deciding. Well, I was deciding by taking the job, but I had a schedule that I had to follow. And it just felt so restrictive and so limiting. And I wanted to feel expansive. I want to travel the world, and I wanted to be able to do things like you were saying, like say, I'm just going to go to the beach today because I need some time to myself. And I think that's something that most people struggle with in the corporate world, which is the idea of no matter how I feel today, I feel like I have to go into work. And that's something that I'm personally very grateful for as an entrepreneur, is because I can wake up and if I am feeling like I need a mental health day, which people are now, that's on the rise in the corporate world, like that's being more accepted that people can do that, which is so amazing. But to be able to decide how I spend my time has been such a huge, huge thing for me. I don't know if you're familiar. Are you familiar with human design at all?
No.
Oh, okay. So it is. Okay. I'm not super familiar with it either, so I'm probably not going to do a very good job explaining it.
Everyone out there, listen up. We're going to talk about something we don't know about. Let's
Going to
go.
talk about something out of a place of complete ignorance. Human design combines a lot of different things. It combines like astrology and other things. I'm explaining this so poorly.
It's
But.
probably like a combination of like physicality, astrology,
Yeah,
spirituality, nature, all
yeah,
that stuff.
yeah. And so in human design, I'm a manifester. Like that's my human design type. And that basically means that I can't have anybody tell me what to do. I have to pave my own path. I just have to kind of inform people of what I'm doing and then do it. Because if anyone tries to like guide me or control me in any way, I get like angry very quickly because it feels so restrictive. I wish I knew more about human design so that I could explain this better. But that's
That'll be your
something I,
next episode.
yeah, my, we'll have
Totally.
someone on who will talk about human design. But that was something that I resonated with so much when I heard that, because I was like, wow, that is so me. Like Because I thought about when I was working as a PA and I would get so angry at the idea that I wasn't in charge of my time. Like it genuinely pissed me off to my
Yes.
core. I was not a happy person at that period of time.
Yeah. And also this thing we talked about a little bit, but this like work guilt, right? So when I do request time off and it does get approved and I'm wherever I am, I'm sitting and I'm going, well, what if work doesn't go well? And what if they needed me? And what if they get mad that I wasn't there? But then it's like, it's your time and you got it approved. And it's, but for some reason we can't strip away this work guilt, right? So that's something major that I'm also working on, because I would say that's a weakness I have in my spirituality, is that when I'm not at work, I'm still thinking about work.
And that comes from that old, like, divine masculine paradigm that we've leaned so hard into as a society that values work and productivity above all else. Like, no room for play, no room for rest, no room for, rejuvenation or empathy or compassion or emotion or expression. Like it's all about logic, the mind, productivity, work, ambition. And those are all things that are important traits to have. But when they're the only things we focus on as a society, we all end up with these like toxic productivity complexes that we have to unlearn. And what's exciting now is that the rise of the divine feminine is happening. And we're seeing that, people are taking more time for themselves. We're seeing a rise in gentle parenting, which is a huge thing, and kids are learning how to manage their emotions. We're seeing more of a effort being made towards work-life balance or work-life integration, where you don't burn yourself out. Hustle culture is starting to be frowned upon. Mental health is being taken more seriously. So, as those divine feminine traits become more mainstream, divine feminine meaning intuition, creativity, play, rest, emotion, expression, all of those things are now, after being suppressed for so long because we saw these other harder traits as more important. Like this rise is starting to happen where we're starting to value these other things more. And it's really exciting to see. And I see it in my work all the time of, the way that people are starting to approach life of like, oh, it's okay if I need to take time for myself. I don't have to feel guilty for not working. And people are starting to make the effort to unlearn those beliefs that were ingrained in us because of the hyper-productive and hyper-masculine society that we've grown up in.
100%. And what's great is, for me, I used to be okay, well, if I'm not being productive, and our best friend Lainey, who we mentioned earlier, will tell you, she's like, Brendan, you are not happy unless you are like exhausted because you're working so much. And I used to be that way. My whole family's like that. Like, we can't sit down and have a glass of wine or, sit by a fire without being like, okay, we should rebuild the fire pit. There's just like, there's something in us that's like, if we're not working, it's like there's this guilt or there's this, something's wrong. And I really love that, because it's becoming more accepting to lean into creativity, rest, all of that, right? That I sit here now, and if I don't get to all the work I had planned for the day, I'm like, that's fine, because I have my life. And before, I used to be like, my life is ending. I'm this age, and this age is gonna, next year's my birthday when I'll be another age. And it was just this, it was just this like constant, my life is in this really fast wave. And now I'm going, oh no, my life is a lake. And some days there is going to be windy days where the waves are crashing a little bit stronger. And there's going to be days where it is glass and you can sit and relax, right? So that's how I'm starting to look at things, which is great, just to see my own mental shift.
Yeah, I've noticed that happening with a lot of people. And it's exciting because for so long, so many of us have placed our worth on our productivity. Like you have to churn out a certain amount of energy in order to be worthy of like what? Love, abundance, like in order to be worthy of money. That's a huge one. But what I always say is that you're a person, not a product. Like you're not a company. You don't have to churn out like what analytics are you looking for by burning yourself out. And burnout is not a badge of honor. And I feel like a lot of people wear it as one. They're just like, oh, I'm so tired that I have to drink 20 cups of coffee in the morning. And it's like, that's not a flex, bro. Like, what you bragging about? It's, I think, because of the focus that our society has had on productivity for so long, there's this sense of pride in I'm exhausted from working. And we need to start leaning away from that because it does, like, we weren't born to work. We just weren't, you know, we weren't born to like go get a job. Jobs are something that humans made up. Like, we made up this whole system. So if we were to remove all of the systems that we created with our human egoic mind, what would we be left with? The desire for human connection, the desire for love, creativity, the desire for joy, fun and happiness and play would be at the top of our priority list. And that's something that I look to children as examples of that because their spirits are so pure and they haven't learned all of these different societal ideals yet. And they haven't been taught out of that natural spirituality that they have when they're that age. Like, if you look to a 3-year-old, they love people unconditionally. They are non-judgmental. They don't have any prejudice. They are so creative and imaginative. They think that play is the most important thing in the world. They feel all their emotions fully. And while they still need some tools to be able to move through life, obviously, because they're three, I think it's interesting the way that we talk about kids by being like, oh, it's so, life is so fun when you're a kid and it sucks when you're an adult. But like, it's fun when you're a kid because you're embodying your spirit and that doesn't have to go away when you grow up.
100%. I love that because a major reason that I referenced before that I think I studied acting was because we're taught to connect back to our child self, right? So we are taught play and improvisation and stripping the mind of what's right, what's wrong, what's embarrassing, what's not. So it was always such a fun time to go move your body the way you want to move it, make a sound the way you want to make a sound, and return yourself back to that childlike state. And exciting news is that my sister right now is expecting in some months to come.
Oh my God!
So that's very,
Congratulations!
thank you. So I'm just very excited for my family as an entire unit to now have a child again in the family so that we can see that energy and we can see that like carelessness, but in the most positive way. You know, because I think once we start to get down on the floor with them and we start to play and we start to open up our mind again, that's really when bonding happens and you start opening up all these doors to spirituality.
Yeah, well, it helps you reconnect with your inner child. The same way that, like,
100%.
that you said that when you made changes in your life, you affected the people around you because your vibration that you raised your vibration, and so your vibration was impacting the other people around you. Same thing when we're around kids, their vibration, that like pure spirit and love and joy and connection and innocence and all of that is contagious. That's why, you know, a lot of people, that's why it's so fun to watch like videos of a baby laughing at something, because it's like the most pure sound. It sounds like a bell. It's the most pure sound in the whole world. But I know for me at least, healing my inner child has been a huge part of my spiritual awakening, because my biggest thing was always, and I actually went through this in high school, where I struggled a lot with the idea of growing up. I developed like this obsession with Peter Pan because I was like, I want to never grow up. Like, I want to go to Neverland. That sounds so dope. Like, I don't want to have to. Everyone always talks about adulthood like it sucks. Everyone always says, oh, enjoy it while it lasts. Enjoy being a kid while it lasts, because in a few years, you're entering the real world. And it's like so terrifying and daunting the way that it's talked about. And I had this idea of like, but I don't want my life to be boring. Like, I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want it to be lame and mundane and unfulfilling because I have to be an adult. And that's why I got so discouraged when I graduated college and started working, because I was like, oh my God, everyone was right. Like, this does suck. And when I had my spiritual awakening, it was back to, wait a minute, all my instincts my whole life have been correct. We are meant to connect. We are meant to love. We are meant to play. We are meant to put our joy first. Like, my intuition has been right. I fucking knew it. Like, and so then I was able to start healing my inner child by dancing and playing and writing and using my imagination and prioritizing my joy and fun. And it changed everything for me, at least, because I realized that being an adult doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be the mundane. It doesn't have to be the getting up, going to work, paying your bills, you know, taking your car to the car dealership, which I did do this morning. But it doesn't have to be that like automatic, boring type of lifestyle. Because even if those are the things that you're doing every day, your mindset can shift so that you are playful and you are imaginative and you are, you know, connecting with others and not taking life so seriously. It really is all about a mindset change when it comes to bringing your inner child into things and making being an adult fun.
And we have to remember it is a difficult shift, right? Because as much as you're growing and you're changing and you're starting to open up your mind to new ways of thinking and doing, a lot of people aren't there yet. So we also have to remember that as we're growing, not everyone's going to grow around us at the same time, right? So I remember when I first started really coming into this awakening and I was going, wow, life is so much lighter because I'm thinking this way. And like you said, doing the mundane things became fun or exciting to do because you're like, I'm doing one step today towards something I want to do. And I get to connect with someone at the car dealership today that I would never have connected with. You know, you start looking at things so much more positively. And I remember when I started doing these things and I started making these new relationships, I came back to the city, right? And I had a roommate first when I came back after COVID. And I was with this roommate who I was like, I would never in a million years would old Brendan would have connected with this, you know, because I was on such a path. I was with someone like you, right? We were focused, we were working, we were grinding, we were hustling. And not that she wasn't doing that, my new roommate. She was just doing it in a more spiritually enlightened way that I wouldn't have understood. So when I first moved in, I remember going, okay, well, I have to make my room look like this, and I have to get this schedule, and I have to go to the gym at this time. And she was going, like, when do you want dinner? Like, let's make this organic soup today. And I was like, I have 17 other things, you know? And she'd be like, I think I need a red La Crusette. And I'd be like, okay. And she's like, but I can't afford one, but I'm gonna have one. And I remember this is my first introduction to manifestation. And I'd be like, okay, great, save up, work hard, you know, like, do your thing. And she's like, no, it's gonna come to me. Like, the universe is gonna give me a red La Crusette on November 17th. And I was like, that sounds great. And, you know, 2 months down the line, November comes around, and a red La Crusette gets left in our lobby that says, you know, it's been sitting here for a week, anyone can take it. And she was like, I remember she walked in the apartment, she's like, well, I got my red La Crusette, what should I ask for next? And I was like, you know, my mind exploded because I was like, oh, when you really start connecting to who you are and your spirituality and your energy and your relationships, things start happening.
Things start happening, especially when you start placing that trust in it, because that is kind of the secret sauce that isn't talked about it as much in the manifesting world. And we could do a whole other episode on manifestation, but the minute that you actually detach yourself from the outcome and say, like, I just trust that this is going to happen, I surrender to the universe, and you don't try to force things, all of a sudden things start falling into place because you're present. You're not acting from a place of scarcity of like, oh, I need this, I don't have enough. And things just start to work out. I don't even know how to explain it. I talk about this with clients all the time where they'll text me with a really cool synchronicity, you know, that happened. And they're like, I don't even know how this happened. And I'm like, don't ask me. This was the universe conspiring in your favor. Things just work out. I can't explain to you how it happens, but they just seem to. And it's so cool. And it's so much fun to approach life with that way because life becomes so much more easeful. And there's not this resistance to everything where you're trying to control and force. Like, it just becomes this like beautiful dance with life where you're co-creating your life with the universe and don't have to stress about how things will work out, when they'll work out, where they'll work out, you know, and try to control the outcome as much. Like, if you can kind of live with ease and the idea of non-resistance, everything becomes so much easier. Even if it's, the way I describe it is, if you're sitting in traffic, this is how I explain, you know, non-resistance versus non-resistance. If you're sitting in traffic and you're about to be late to an appointment and you're sitting there all stressed, your heart is pounding, you're getting all worked up, you're getting irritable, you're being snappy at the person in the car with you because you're resisting the fact that you're in traffic, you will still get there the same exact time, whether or not you're pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so why are you making yourself suffer more by resisting it? Like, just lean into it and allow it to happen and say, I accept this, because you're going to be stuck in traffic whether or not you suffer through it.
Right. And so you might as well put on the music and sing while you're in the traffic.
Have a dance party and roll down your windows and put on a full-blown concert for everyone around you, whether they want it or not.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But that's great, because even with my partner right now, right, he, not that he's resistant to things, we're very much on the same path when it comes to how we feel about spirituality and where we're going. And we right now are in the shift where we want to leave Manhattan and we want to make some changes for our future. And I'm very, once I have an idea, and I think you relate to this too, once I have an idea, I'm like, that's it. That's the idea, you know? So we were thinking of going upstate and we were looking at areas, and we ended up vacationing in part of Lake George. And I was like, oh, wow, something about this is telling my soul that this is where I'm supposed to be in this type of setting, right? So I was like, let's start looking in this area. And so we're looking around. And he goes, okay, well, my job may not allow me to get that far up, but maybe we can settle somewhere in between. And I was like, okay. But in my head, I'm going, it's Lake George. I mean, it has to be the Lake George area, you know? And in his head, he's going, as long as it's out of the city and near Lake George, it's not a problem. So we both have this resistance and non-resistance to things. Because I'm like, well, if we can do it, we should do it. Like, spirit's going to bring me there. So I'm not even worried about how it's going to happen, because it's going to happen. And he's like, well, it'll happen, but it may take 5 or 6 steps.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the, and again, this is like all getting into manifesting, but it's that balance between aligned action and surrender. You kind of have to like dance between the two of them, because you have to obviously take action if you want to move up there. You have to find where you want to live, and you got to, you know, do all that stuff. You got to pack your things. Like, for example, if you want to manifest being a best-selling author, like, you have to write the book. You can't just be like, I'm going to be an author. Now I surrender. Because,
book
like,
will land in my hand.
Who's going to write that shit, you know? So there's this delicate dance between action and surrender. But it is like, I feel like there's a lot of trial and error when you're first getting the hang of it, because it's something that is natural to us and unnatural to us. Unnatural because we have learned that we have to control everything, and we also have this fight or flight and need for control and safety and security and predictability built into our body and our nervous system, because we want to know how things will work out so we know we'll be safe. But at the same time, our spirit knows to surrender and to trust and to just follow our joy. And that's why I always teach people to tap into their intuition and their spirit and take aligned action from that place. So with that, I want to ask you two things. One, currently, I know you mentioned real estate, but what is next for you?
Ooh. Okay, so this is kind of where my partner's ideology comes in, because I'm in the phase of doing the 5 or 6 steps for my next big move, right? So within the year, I plan to be out of Manhattan and living somewhere in a countryside, right? And it doesn't have to be like George, like I mentioned, but I'm looking for a more serene setting that aligns with me. So I want to be something with nature, and I'm planning on moving by the end of our lease in next November. So by then I should have my real estate license done, my plans of starting my new business done. And so I can really, once I transition over to that next setting, I can just full force start with that. So that's kind of my next big move.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited for you. Oh my God. I can't wait to come and visit you wherever you are, because I know it's going to be beautiful and you're going to make the place that you're living so gorgeous. No doubt.
Yes.
I remember
the guest room will always be open.
I'm going to move in. Hope that's cool. We lived
Oh yeah,
together
we'll
once.
have.
We could do it again.
Oh yeah, and you know I have an obsession with throw blankets, so it's gonna be like throw blankets, jackets, and a fire pit. And even if that's my house, I'm like content, you know.
So my last question for you is, I guess you kind of answered it, but if there's anything else, where would you like to be 1 year from now? Is it the same answer?
Yeah, basically, but also I think I'll answer it more spiritually. I think 1 year from now, I want to be more childlike, like we mentioned. I want to be less stressed about the future. And not that I'm not stressed about the future, but I just want this, I want to release the weight that it has to be perfect and it has to be financially at a certain level and any type of holding, right? I want to release all that. So childlike, I want to release tension. And I think I just want to be doing more of what makes me happy. I want to be out in nature more. I want to be connecting with family and friends and my partner more and just growing those relationships.
Those are really beautiful goals, and I can't wait to see, how it all comes into fruition for you and how you continue to grow. Like we've kind of gone through our transformations together and
Yeah.
we've both come so far. And so I'm excited to kind of continue this journey alongside you. And I love you. And thank you so much for coming on
Love
this
you.
podcast.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode today. If you really enjoyed this episode, don't forget to let me know by leaving a review. And if you want to connect with me outside of the podcast world, you can find me on Instagram at Sarah Lockwood, or you can check out my website, saralockwoodcoaching.com. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.